It's got a death curse.
Don't all of you be like me. And then who will lock you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was. You can feel it. That cold ain't the weather. That's death approaching.
This movie, and the reason I absolutely love it, everybody's all spread out and everybody can attack at any time type of thing. And
it's a free-for-all.
They're smart.
Yeah.
Gabe!
Produced by Sam Raimi and Rob Tapert.
Yeah.
That is Evil Dead money. If it wasn't for Evil Dead, this movie would never have been made.
For the record, I enjoyed this much more than the Evil Dead remake.
Fog the windows. Try to hide. They're coming.
You didn't tell me we were watching this movie, but if you told me, I would have been like, fuck yeah, okay, I'll watch that shit all day. Like, I do like this movie. I will watch it again.
Who are you here with? Where are they? I don't judge a dead man!
This is a horrible situation. Anybody who's human in this town is fucked.
Wanna play with me now?
I will say anybody should watch it simply for the fact that these are probably the best vampires put on film.
Feed on everyone and don't turn anyone. We don't want anyone else joining our ranks. Yeah. Everyone here is food. Kill them all.
Hello again, this is Cash Wampum, your host of the Horror 101 podcast, and this is episode number 110. And if you love vampire films, boy, do we have a show for you. For the last couple of decades, there's been an unflattering trend of making the famed Night Stalkers sparkling little sex pot bitches. Well, as George Patton used to say, God damn it, that's enough. If you have even the slightest appreciation for the bestial, primal, evil roots of the vampire lore, then you will certainly enjoy this show. In 2007, we were given a refreshing new look at savage, ancient, and timeless evil. A new reason to remember why the story of vampires at one time was the stuff of nightmares. This was a film adaptation of an original story by Steve Niles, and it's our privilege to give the Horror 101 treatment to David Slade's 30 Days of Night. And before we get to the show, we need your support. Please consider giving us a pledge at patreon.com/horror101, where you can get exclusive access to our cutting room floor segments that we release halfway through the month, or buying some swag. The link can be found at our website at horror101.ca. Thank you for your time, and let's get this started.
Holy smoke, my friends! I'm so pleased you're not dead!
I am here. Things are looking up.
Yes, this is
very good.
Here.
Excited to be here. And excited to be anywhere.
30 Days of Night. I'm willing to venture that this might be a film that Brian Stewart hasn't seen, and you might have.
I have.
You have seen this film.
I have seen it. You're talking about the one with Josh Hartnett, right?
Yes, Josh Hartnett.
Yep, I've seen it.
Lies. Lies and blaspheme. You have not
seen
this.
I'm sure it'll come back to me as I watch it.
Yeah, this one's pretty good. It's like 07, I think. This
yeah.
07, 08.
I can date it roughly. I saw this in Korea.
Yeah?
I saw this in a theater in Korea.
This movie was a breath of fresh air when it came to the whole vampire shit.
Yeah.
You disagree?
I've heard.
I
Well, this was adapted from a graphic novel.
Without giving too much away, because Brian hasn't seen it. Newt and I watched it years ago.
There's elements of it I really, really like.
Mm-hmm.
There's other elements that I think are really uneven. Without getting into the spoilers, the vampires themselves, there's two. I don't understand their motivation once you get past the 30 days of night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that. It's never fully explained what their motivation is after that point. And there's no motive. There's no. One hand they're fast, on the other hand they're slow.
No consistency there?
There's no consistency.
I don't remember that. I remember not being very taken with the ending. I wasn't a big fan of the end.
Yeah.
No.
But I will say this. It is hyper, hyper, hyper violent.
I like that.
And mm-hmm. Yes, and these vampires are, as much as I dislike parts of the movie, these vampires are the best vampires I've ever seen on film.
Oh, yeah? They're your favorite?
They're vicious. They're just brutally vicious.
Really? Even more so than, you know, what we do in the shadows?
I'm going to throw something at you.
That's a great movie.
I would honestly say they're almost on par with the ones, if you want to consider them, vampires from The Strain. If you've seen that. Yeah, like it's similar vein.
I'm sure that...
Because remember when I started watching The Strain, I was like, this is actually, like, a lot of it was, like, really reminding me of 30 Days of Night.
Sting?
What?
Wasn't that with Sting?
No.
No. The Strain was a Guillermo del Toro novel.
It was a
novel.
TV show.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, and...
yeah, he wrote... It was a series of three novels that he wrote with somebody else, camera, Chuck Hagen, I believe. And then they made a TV show. The first season was good.
And I haven't watched the second.
But...
Because it got canceled after two, right? Or is it
two
still...
Two or three.
Two or three, yeah.
Yeah.
I was a little worried because I fell behind on watching the second, and then I didn't hear good things. So I was just kind of like, do I want to keep the happy memories?
I love the first season, and I love the books. The books are amazing.
Okay.
But the vampires are brutal, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure that they borrowed off each other. But these are definitely not your Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt.
Yeah, these aren't sparkly pretty.
No, they're not handsome.
These are feral.
Yeah.
These are like
two vampire movies that were getting a lot of buzz in Modern Vampire. There was this one, and the other one was Let the Right One In, and I haven't seen either yet.
Let the Right One In is good, but it's very.
But it was originally Scandinavian, and there was an English version.
It's good, but it's very different than this.
Oh yeah,
There's two versions, right? There's the original that I think was Scandinavian, and then there was an English version. Right?
Yes,
Chloe
Grace Moretz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Scandinavian one's the one you need to see.
Okay. I've seen some clips from it. The cinematography looks amazing.
Yeah. Like the typical North American, slightly inartful remake.
Yeah.
Slightly?
I'm being generous.
So I'm looking forward to seeing this. I haven't seen a good vampire film in quite some time. Although, like I say, just recently I finally got to see the Frank Langella Dracula, but that's another age. That's very dated now.
Yeah, that was 79.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're all looking for something, you know, non-sparkly in our vampire movies.
Oh, so
something
that gets back to its real roots. You're not getting sparkles on this one.
Oh, good.
I'll tell you that much. There's no sparklies in this one.
No.
And, of course, it's, like, way up north, right?
Well, that's the
whole idea.
So when the winter solstice comes, they get, like, zero light for 30 days.
Yeah.
You know? Why wouldn't a vampire want to go there? It's like...
But, again, that ties into my problem with the ending.
Yeah. Dude, you remember this one?
Vaguely.
You don't remember Josh Hartnett?
Oh, I do. Like, I remember some parts. I'm sure there's going to be parts that I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I'm looking forward to it.
Danny Houston's awesome.
Yeah, decent. Yeah, decent cast. Danny Houston, and, you know, Josh Hartnett.
He was, wasn't he in American Horror Story? He was the jazz man. He was the guy going around killing people who wasn't listening to jazz.
And that's based on a true story.
Yeah.
In, like, 1920s Louisiana.
Yeah.
He plays a great villain in a movie I've tried recommending to the two of you, which is a movie called The Proposition.
You know who his father was, right?
John Houston.
Yeah, his father.
He's the brother of Angelica Houston.
Brian Stewart, I put the other beers in the fridge.
Thank you, Cranley.
You're very welcome.
I found them successfully, so we're good.
Okay, so we will start this film, and then we will discuss.
Let's shoot this fucker.
All right. Hold on, let me just pause this. Newt, can you grab that light, please?
Yeah. Somebody! Help!
I saw them tease to be vampires, you know?
Vampires don't exist, Jake.
Weather. That's death approaching.
They're tearing through everyone's home.
I can last the month.
Holy fuck. This movie was made with Evil Dead money.
Or
this
Briscoe is County money.
What's that?
Or Briscoe County money.
Ooh. No. The genesis of their fortune started with Evil Dead.
I know.
What? Not Briscoe County Jr.?
No. I had no clue. I had no idea. When this first came out, I don't even remember hearing Sam Raimi being attached to this at all. And one of the first things you see at the end of the film, produced by Sam Raimi and Rob Tapert.
Yeah.
That is Evil Dead money. And if it wasn't for Evil Dead, this movie would never have been made.
For the record, I enjoyed this much more than the Evil Dead remake.
Last sunset in a month always works. Come on, let's go to the sign.
So, Northern Alaska, is it true? Northern Alaska gets a period where there's 30 days of night?
Closer to 70, actually.
70 days.
Yeah. That's like 65, 67.
That's got to be, like, okay, psychologically, that has to fuck with you.
Yeah. Of course.
That has to fuck with you. It's like, not right.
Yeah. But it's not just Alaska. I mean, it's anything up there as well. It's far northern Canada, it's Russia.
Once you get above a certain parallel because of the angle of the earth at a certain time of year, just basically because
we got this kind of wobble. If you're within that wobble space in the line of sight from the sun, it makes so the South Pole should have the same thing on the opposite side of the year. The
South Pole isn't inhabited like that.
There's no one in Antarctica?
Not really, no.
Penguins. Strange. Who'd do something like this? Maybe someone got a little upset about their roaming charges.
Stealing satellite phones makes sense. You can hawk them. You can run up charges on somebody else's account. But burning them?
Youngsters? Pulling some prank?
No.
Josh Hartnett, who's a fan? Nude?
Yeah, I like him.
We like him for Penny Dreadful.
Yeah, Penny Dreadful.
Lucky number 11.
Oh. I still haven't seen
Fuck that. You, I love
fuck
that movie.
Fuck that movie based on the title.
H2O, yes.
He shows up at the end of Sin City.
Sin City, yes. He was the assassin.
Yeah.
That took out the ratting whore.
Yeah. Very beginning, very end. But I haven't seen him in much recently. He's one of those people.
Since Penny Dreadful, I haven't seen him in anything.
He was doing really well. He was getting a shit ton of work for a while, and then he just took a hiatus. It was just too much, and he was just like, eh.
Good for him.
Evan. Come in, Evan.
Yeah, Alan.
Something bad's happened to John Reese's dogs.
So, we got this familiar going around. They find all these cell phones burned up, comms destroyed, sled dogs destroyed. And
Helen's favorite scene. Yes, the sled
dogs. Dude, is that your favorite scene? The dogs getting killed?
Absolutely not.
Well, you see the knife coming down on the dogs, and you're like, oh, that's horrible. And then 5 minutes later, cut to dogs dead and gored up, and you're like, oh my god, I didn't need to see that.
Have you seen Needful Things, Helen?
Brian, I don't want to talk about it.
I'm going to keep this jacket, nude. I'm going to keep this jacket.
Anyway, move on.
All right, moving on.
No whiskey. No rum.
Alcohol's illegal this month. Folks have hard enough time in the dark without booze making it worse.
Just bring me a bowl of raw hamburger.
You can only get meat two ways around here. Frozen, burnt.
You don't bring me what I want to eat, what I want to drink.
That's enough, pal. Leave the lady be.
He finishes all this shit, then goes to a diner and pulls the super creep mode, you know, because he's under the impression that death is coming and it's going to be his salvation.
And I actually like that, because he's in there, he's trying to get his strength up for asking for alcohol, and they won't serve alcohol because it brings on the depression of not having any sun.
But I know it. No sun and no alcohol?
Right.
I'm not in.
But that's what he's trying to do,
dude.
Right?
I'd be fine.
No wine for you.
You'd be fine. So says a woman with a tattoo of a wine glass on her forearm.
No, she's marked with alcohol.
Oh, no, just no wine at the friggin' diner. She'll be fine. Hell, you got a cellar in your house. You'd be set for a month, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
you've got an emergency supply somewhere at this
moment. I wouldn't have to buy anything because I would be set.
Yeah, alcohol's illegal for 30 days? Fuck that noise. If you knew that ahead of time, just stockpile, right?
Yeah, I would be well prepared.
Ah, computer's down. Strange.
Phone's down, too.
Mr. and Mrs. Sheriff. So sweet, so helpless against what is coming.
Who played the familiar? I've seen that guy in shit before.
Ben Foster.
Ben Foster.
Ben. What else has he been at? What most notable?
He's 310 to Yuma. He was in that Warcraft movie.
Oh, that's why nobody saw it.
Yep.
Was he in Sons of Anarchy too?
No.
No.
Who does he he reminds me of Owen Wilson.
He reminds
without
me...
Without the nose.
No. I thought about it when we were watching the movie. Ben Foster is what I thought Haley Joel Osment would look like when he grew up.
Haley Joel Osment's put on some weight.
That's what I mean. And then I saw
he's
what
a Haley... He's a butterball now.
Because he was in Boys.
Okay.
But yeah, it was funny. Right. It's like, but honestly, if you look at Haley Joel Osment back in like Sixth Sense, you think, that's... Like, when I saw him, like, oh, okay, that must be him growing up. It is not.
I was impressed just with the makeup for his teeth.
Oof.
Those teeth were pretty bad.
Like, I wouldn't get that close to talk to him, because it's like, oh, it was a... But for a while, especially towards, like, the latter half of the early 2000s, Ben Foster played a lot of creepy fucking characters.
That guy had a...
That was, like, his stock and trade for a while. We need someone creepy. How about Ben Foster? Genius. I love it.
That guy had an absolute haunted house of a mouth. Good Lord.
And you got Josh Hartnett, who's the sheriff, and he's on the outs with the fire marshal, who's... What's his name?
Stella.
Yeah.
Stella!
Thank you.
His ex-whatever.
Well, estranged
wife. Estranged wife, right? You know, they're on the outs. She's trying to get out, can't get out because the trencher stopped her. And that's the Chekhov's gun, right? The trencher?
There was a few Chekhov's guns. There was also the crusher at the place.
Nobody can use that.
There was a few Chekhov's guns in this.
Michelle, is your Jenny up and running?
Yeah. I heard gunshots, Evan. What the hell is going on?
I don't know. Just go home. I'll let you know when I find out, okay?
I like the setup, and then how the... Because you don't see a vampire for like 30 minutes,
yeah,
at least.
You just kind of see scurrying off and like... kind of not focused.
Well, who was the first one to... It was the comms. The guy at the comms station. Because you could see the satellite there.
Yeah.
I also like that when they do find him again and his head's on the pike, that was a nice touch to show this was something very old. Right? Because heads on pikes is a very old thing. That's like Crusades.
Not just that, but like, this is what's coming.
Yeah.
Right? That's a warning.
So I like that.
A head on a pike is a fucking warning.
And it's not
Vlad did that. That was Vlad. When the Turks were invading... He would take all the Turks and stick them on spikes so, like, the Turkish army would have to go through miles of their kin fucking impaled on spikes just to mentally fuck with them.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, you want to come here? You got to go through this horror fucking house.
All right, time to talk. Who are you here with? Who are you here with? Who did that to Gus?
They're dead, man.
Where are they?
I don't talk to dead men.
I don't talk to dead men!
Jordan, deep
them having their own ancient language really sold.
It was designed by an actual linguist, somebody who studied Inuit tribes.
And it's kind of an embodiment. A lot of clicking in there, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of that shit, right? Like,
yeah.
I really enjoyed that. When I first watched this film, I liked, because if they just came in and was like, oh, kill everyone, you know, and then they went off and did this, I'm like, well, yeah, they look like vampires, they act like vampires, but I've kind of seen this before. But to come out and start going, hush, like, I'm like, what the fuck is that? Yeah. And needing subtitles to know what the fuck they're saying, that disconnected me from these people.
Yes.
And allowed me to believe that they were not human. He gives the directive. I like the directive. The heads must be separated. Feed on everyone and don't turn anyone. We don't want anyone else joining our ranks. Yeah. Everyone here is food. Kill them all.
This movie, and the reason I absolutely love it, everybody's all spread out and everybody can attack at any time type of thing. And
it's a free-for-all.
They're smart.
Yeah. I appreciate that because this is a serious situation. Yeah. So, yeah, I appreciate that they played it straight. This is a horrible situation. Anybody who's human in this town is fucked. It's a vampire free-for-all, and there's a pocket of people who are safe for the moment, whereas the entire town is getting decimated.
Yeah.
And I like the bird's-eye view traveling over the town,
and you see pockets of violence.
You see people shooting other people, people running, people tackling people, and just pockets of blood all over the snow.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was a good touch. Like, this is Armageddon.
Yeah.
This is Vampire Armageddon. You don't see this. You know, usually vampire attacks are like in the dark, in the shadows, away from people. In this case, it's like, okay, boys and girls, go get them. Do as you will kind of deal. It was Vampire Armageddon.
Usually you only see that kind of shit in a zombie movie. Shit started going down, and when they were driving away, and then the Jeep gets stopped, and they basically, like, when they flip it over.
Yeah.
That was going to be my other one.
Yeah, because it was just like, you're like, okay, we have a plan, we're going to go do the thing. Fuck, no, I guess we're not. And just, A, showing how much stronger they are, because, you know, a couple of them basically just, like, went and then flipped, and it's like the fact that it looked, it's just that moment where, like, okay, fuck, how are they getting out of this? And the snowplow just, Just pancakes a couple.
The trencher.
No,
it was a snowplow.
The snowplow.
That's right,
yeah.
Because he pinned a couple up against the wall,
and it was just like, all right, that was well done. Like, I liked it because it was basically, because there's always that moment where it's like, okay, things are going bad, our heroes are going to spring into action, they're going to do a thing, and it's just like, no.
Nope. No, exterior forces are going to come in and save the day. So.
Yeah, because they got lucky the first time when the one jumped on the truck because there was only one.
He shot up there.
They shot through the roof and flung him off, and they just drove away. But seeing, like, they actually working together, it was just, I liked that one because it was basically like, no, this isn't going to be that kind of a situation where, you know, your plucky attitude is not going to fucking win the day.
No.
A heavily bearded guy with a snow plow is your only hope in this situation.
Who was the actor that was the big actor? Because I remember he was in Vampires. He was one of
who? Which one?
He was one of James
Bobby
Woods'
vampire
hunters, and
who? Bobby from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
Oh,
the big guy with the beard,
Mark Boone Jr.
Is that who it is?
That's his name. Yeah.
Because I'm in Vampires. He was the one all living it up. They were having that big party at that motel.
Yeah.
And when Valak comes in and fucking starts eliminating him, he's the first one to get it, and he fucking does this and cuts the guy in half.
Yeah. He was third on the top. He was on Sons of Anarchy. He was in Batman Begins.
Somebody!
record, that is my favorite scene, using the girl as bait.
God damn it.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, basically she was walking down and screaming for help, help, help. But then you see them, kind of all the vampires in the distance on the rooftops and stuff, and just hopping because she's calling out to somebody. And then when no one was coming out, because the people who were holed up in that attic figured it out, and so all the vampires kind of came closer to her. She's like, I tried, no one's coming. And then they basically were batting her around like she was some cat toy and stuff, and then they finally just did away with
it. Yeah, yeah. And these things are fucking evil. It's like, if it was just your food and I'm hungry, that's one thing, but you're beneath me and food, and you know,
she's already got wounds on her jacket, so they were torturing her before.
Oh yeah.
You know, like her jacket been cut open, you can see blood dripping down.
Yeah.
They were fucking with her before that.
And something tells me that they actually can speak English, because how did she said, I tried.
Oh, well, and then she prayed to God, and he's like, God? No, and he God. Looked around. Yeah, he no looked God. Up. He's like, yeah, there's no God here.
As I was saying, they're speaking in their native tongue, whatever it was, so everybody else didn't know what they were talking about, I think.
Man. We'll sleep in shifts. We'll ration our food, and then we'll figure out the next step. We have two advantages. We know this town, and we know the cold. We live here for a reason, because nobody else can.
So, but it does make it feel like they don't really stand any chance, though. Early on, that may be my only real concern in the film, is that it's hard to get nervous when everybody's just being slaughtered and they don't stand a chance. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until the second half of the movie where I started to give a shit when they're holding out in the attic. And from that point on, the movie kept getting better for me. The first half of the movie felt, it was but it wasn't scary, because like I say, when you're so hopelessly outmatched, there's no fear there. All you've got are the good gore effects to go. And there's some great gore effects.
To be honest, it followed a lot of the same kind of touch points as Aliens.
Okay.
Because it was basically like, it shifted gears, because in the beginning it was like basically, you know, everything seems to be calm, then there's like everything, like pretty much everybody gets taken out, and then you're down to like a last core group that becomes a survival horror at that
point. Well, I hate to say this, I'm going to hear the groans now, but the movie I kept having in the back of my head this entire time was Tremors. And it's because it's an isolated trap group of small people being, you know, attacked by, you know, a bunch of vicious killers, and them doing everything they can to try and survive.
Gee, I wonder what film came out in the 60s that was the exact same thing. What was it? What black and white film? Zombies?
Oh, yeah.
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 I wonder if every film came after that was...
I'm saying it's a good thing. I like the, you know, the trap trying to do everything it can against a superior force.
It touches on the horror, like, the survival horror tropes a lot. Like, but at least they were like, okay, we're waiting for a snowstorm to move from point A to point B.
Yeah.
But then the snowstorm stops.
Also the same thing, you can't make noise, you'll get detected and you'll get eaten, right?
Yeah.
They're ransacking the Clark's place. They're tearing through everyone's home.
We have to move.
When do you suggest we do that?
Now. While we have strength. Until we have some way to stop them, it's suicide, Lucy.
We can stay here until they find us and they can kill us all. Or we can run like hell. Now, some of us won't make it, but it's better than all of us dying.
I understand that it's 30 days a night, but it's hard to imagine these people surviving for 30 days. I know, but not being discovered.
Which is why they just cut to a new scene and showed a number at the bottom of the screen. It's a little on the lazy side, because instead of actually doing something to make you feel the passage of time, they just show it to you.
So, I mean, obviously, they were up in that attic. They must have been up there for at least a week,
Almost
two. I was
going
to say.
They could have made it, like, horrible, because there could have been, like, okay, well, like, piss and shit in that corner, and just have it like bucket. We can't stay here. There's too much.
The only thing you see is the really shitty makeup on her to show that she's aging or stressing out, and his really shitty fucking beard. Like, his terrible 15-year-old can't grow a beard, looks like shit. Like, that was it.
We go to the general store, we get supplies, and then we go to the Utilidor. We get there, we can last the month. The next blizzard will be ready. But we'll never make it there without cover.
There was one unintentionally funny moment in this film, though, and I hate to say it, it's the little girl. I was laughing.
Which
was,
really?
Yeah,
the little girl in the grocery store. Or the little girl walked through the street.
The little girl who was feeding on the guy, and they even put ribbons in her hair and pigtails. And I'm like, really? Come on.
You know what? I'm all for it. Silly. I like how they had the balls.
She spoke.
So did he.
Yeah.
And so did the other cop.
Yeah. I wish she didn't have any lines. It would have been far better if she didn't speak.
I'm done playing with this one. You wanna play with me now?
Somebody! Somebody get there!
But I like how they had the balls to turn a little girl into a feral fucking killing machine and then deal with her correct. You know? Pin her to the fucking wall and take her head right off. And it was his little brother.
Jake.
Yeah. He was like, where's the axe? I got it. I'll deal with this.
The pigtails.
Way to go, Gimli.
Yeah, I was out. They went out of their way to make her look like a young little girl a little too much.
Because she was.
Yeah,
imagine that. A little girl's got pigtails. That never happens.
You have to go that far to sell us this a little girl?
If we take the pigtails out and she's just got long hair flowing like a little girl, would that make it more believable?
I think she should look more feral. I think
she was fucking ugly. She's fucking covered in blood and she's chewing into some guy's neck.
It looks silly with the rest of the look.
What the fuck?
It did.
Do you have a problem with a little girl in Night of the Living Dead?
How about The Shining?
Yeah.
You see, it's a cliche. It's everywhere. The little monster kid. Like the twins in The Shining.
You're aged.
I don't even know you anymore, man.
He was born in 80, so he's only aged 10 years.
This wasn't the only cliche. Which but thankfully, there were some things I'd never seen before, but there were one or two things I've seen in every horror film.
I just think you're trying to pick an argument to fit whatever mold you have right now.
I just thought it was silly. It didn't need to be there. I thought it just, I don't know.
Evan. Run for Rogers Avenue. Toward the trencher. My turn.
You left the trencher to yourself.
Let's talk about the trencher. Okay, the trencher was cool as fuck.
Okay.
Nude.
The
it's basically like a giant chainsaw attached to a crane. Go ahead.
Yep. We have to give props to the body being cut in half.
No. It gets on the front, he shoots it with a shotgun, and as it's falling off, it lands on the blade and gets cut in half, and then run over.
Yeah.
Mwah! Chef's kiss.
And that thing was obviously designed to break massive chunks of ice. Like, that's what that's designed for.
Yep. Right.
So those are some thick-ass teeth on that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, smart enough to put the bear traps on the back of the thing, too. That was smart. Yep. There's so much going on there. That's
protecting his 6 o'clock.
My only problem with it, though, is when he runs it into the hotel.
For what reason? It was doing
no fucking sense.
It was doing a great job.
Right. And then, he's in the hotel. He doesn't let enough of them rush in. To when he blows up the hotel.
But they were good at him, and he couldn't do it couldn't wait too long because some were already in there.
Fair enough.
And if he waited too long, he would be dead, and
Was it ever previously established that they were all congregating or hanging out in that hotel?
No.
That was
this is where they chased him.
See, if they had established that was a nest or that's where they were seen to hang out, that would have made more sense, right?
And and not just that, but the guy had a box of TNT at his feet.
Yeah.
Lights a freaking flare, drops it into a box of TNT.
And for a box of TNT, though, that was a pretty weak ass explosion.
Agreed.
Like, but that whole building should have gone bye bye.
Was it
like
just road flares?
He survived.
Survived almost unscathed.
Yeah. But it was just a flare, though. That flare is not going to. It's not like it's.
I don't think it was a box of TNT. I think it was just a box of road flares.
It was a box
of
road
flares. Oh, it was a box of road
flares. Well, it was either road flares or blasting caps.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't. I think it was a box of TNT.
Yeah.
The whole building would have been gone.
When you see a box full of red sticks, you just kind of like, oh.
I actually think it was blasting caps or ice. Probably. in the whatever they call that room at the end, where
Utilidor?
Yeah, the Utilidor.
The Utilidor with the cruncher.
With the cruncher, and the cruncher was cool, but I'm sorry, I'm gonna steal it. The axe.
The second blow,
and then before that, when they knock the vampire into the cruncher, and you see his arm is gone, and then you just see that jagged two pieces of bone, sticking out from what was left of his
sold arm. It,
yeah. And then the two hits. You said you wanted to see the third. I didn't want to see the third. Third would have just been the head on the ground. I wanted the second head blow is the money shot.
Well, the first blow it goes right in, and you see the gore coming out. Yeah. You're like, wow. And then the second blow, the head comes clean, almost clean off. It's still holding on by a thread.
But yeah, just Xenu. Like, that's it. Like, yeah. It's just, yeah.
I was off my chair.
That's
I was like, oh my god, yes.
It nearly headless nicked him.
Sorry?
So they nearly headless nicked him.
They broke into the pipeline.
I still have a basic problem with the story. Like, the idea that it if they're trying to take over the world, it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-mm.
Once you get, like I said, further south, the whole thing falls apart.
Is that their...
No.
Did they ever mention their whole thing was...
Then what's their point? What's the purpose?
Their point is having 30 days to fucking to be not them. Have to worry about sun.
To not have to hide. To not have to feed off the scraps.
And then what? They go back on the boat?
Go back on the fucking boat for all I care.
That's right.
I don't know what their end game is.
Sit in your fucking house.
They didn't run their agenda past me.
They already said it's like, well, after this town... Because they got into the pipeline, they burned the entire town to make sure that there was no evidence of this massacre. There was no evidence, and like the girl said, they're going to think it was some stupid accident. There's not going to be any questions. If everybody came back and like people were slaughtered and it was a bloodbath, it looked like wolves came in or something like that. Nobody's going to buy that shit. No, they had to like... scorched earth the entire scenario, or else
I guess
they had to bury their tracks of their carnage, right? Yes. That was their point.
Evan,
when John Reese and Carter changed, they were only bitten. They stayed who they were for a little while. We can't fight them the way that we are. Thanks, little brother.
So, does anybody buy Josh Hartnett taking some blood via needle from a dead vampire, shooting it into himself, and then taking on the vampires? Nobody has a problem with that?
They did establish that it takes some time for them to turn over.
Yeah.
I bought it.
And, like, he goes to... Oh, the one who fights. And nobody... The alpha was like, I'm going to take this guy on, so all the other vampires didn't get involved.
Like, well, that would be like a wolf pack.
Yeah, he wants to challenge this guy? Yeah. Fine. And then after, you know, and he gets in a couple of punches, but for the most of that fight...
He's getting fucked up.
He's
getting
back.
His ass handed to him. But he got some lucky shots at the end, and then he swept the leg.
Yeah.
If the Karate Kid has taught us anything, sweep the fucking leg.
The best shot of that fight for me is when Josh Hartnett's on the ground and Houston just kicks him in the face.
Oh, and he kicks him and he spins.
From the force of the kick, and you could hear his neck crack when his head tilted back. I was like, that was really nice. I thought, well, how do they do that and make it look believable?
At that point, I think he underestimated the situation.
Yeah.
So he just went in without a care and got a fist through the fucking back of his skull. That was the end of it. And as soon as the alpha was killed, the rest were like, whoa, okay, that's it. And he's even like, do I go after him? Where are they going to go? Back to the ship?
Well, again...
Where are they going to go? The sun's coming up.
Using the wolf or the lion as kind of a whatever to this, that's what would happen, too. If a lion or a wolf takes over the pack... The other wolves or lions aren't going to attack the guy that just took it over.
No,
they're going to, you know, very least are going to follow. And these ones didn't know what to do.
They just scattered.
Yeah, they scattered. They weren't sure what to do.
And the sun comes up and fries our hero, and that's the end of things.
Which was some bad, 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 bad effect.
He should have turned to dust.
It looked like styrofoam covered in newspaper.
Yeah, it's like, even give us like a mosaic shot from behind of him just turning to dust.
Well,
part of it was flying.
Yeah, there were some little flaky bits coming off.
In the wake of Interview with the Vampire, they did it way better with that woman and Kirsten Dunst's character. I mean, that was the benchmark. That was the best looking dusting I'd ever seen.
For you, eternity in a box.
Vampires, you know?
Vampires don't exist, Jake.
Brian, why don't you score this for us, please?
I'm going to give this a 7.5.
Yeah?
No. I think, I wish we'd gotten to know more about the little town first, because when the mass slaughter starts, for the first half of this movie, I really don't care. I mean, it's fun to watch, violent, sure, but there's no suspense for the first half of this movie. It isn't until they get down to a small band of people trapped in an isolated location, then the movie gets where I'm happy. Then I was vested, I was involved, and for the last half, everything from that point on, fantastic. So I think it was a good back half of the movie. The front half of the movie, Manu Bennett just vanishing for half the movie. And like, that was kind of weird. So it's not perfect, but I gotta tell you, some of the best gore effects we've seen. That partial decapitation, beautiful. Everything to do with the trencher, and even the just regular gore effects of just rending somebody's throat out. The blood looked amazing in this. The vampires were unlike any vampires we'd seen that feral or that vicious.
Yes.
And I kind of like the animalistic edge. And so, yeah, I think it's a bit bottom heavy. And I don't have any problems with the ending. I know. Again, except for, and I have to agree with Paul, the vampire master plan fucking sucks. It makes no sense, but I don't care. It's a monster movie. So, but yeah, I'd say I would recommend it. If somebody said, should I see this? I'd say, absolutely. You should absolutely see this movie. And Danny Houston, you played some great villains. He was great in the first Wonder Woman movie. He was great in The Proposition. I like him. He's a good guy, and I think he should do more villain roles.
Check on Gus. Bar the windows. Try to hide. They're coming.
Nick, score it.
I'm going to give her a 7. Yeah, I'll admit, 90% of the cast, the first half of the movie, might as well be wearing red shirts. Like, just like, oh, hi, I don't really need to know your name because you're completely expendable and you're just here to look awkward in a bar because you're going to be dead soon. You're going to be the person that we walk into the room later and all that's left of you is a pool of blood. How's that sound?
Or a stain on the snow.
Pretty much, yeah. There's a couple parts where it's weird because it jumped ahead to try to show us the passage of time in the laziest way possible, but also dragged by not coming up with something to at least take advantage of the fact that they're doing the lazy way to show us the passage of time. Like, it was still a lull and it borderline boring. There's a couple characters that I'm just like, can we throw them out the window to just watch them get fed on? Because like that one guy that was just like, oh, I'm gonna look, the one that was like constantly impatient and bitching, I'm like, zero fucking remorse when he got ate.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he died good.
Like, the entire purpose of his character was for us to dislike him enough so that we actually were happy when he got fed.
And he didn't even die well.
No.
He didn't even die well.
But they did die while they were running for it. So,
yeah,
proven wrong.
I know, it would have been funny if somebody walked out. Ha! But if you, you didn't tell me we were watching this movie, but if you told me, I would have been like, fuck yeah, okay, I'll watch that shit all day. Like, I do like this movie. I will watch it again.
And you've seen it, and you did not.
I know. This is like backwards world today.
It's Bizarro Horror 101.
You keep shooting, and they just keep coming.
How is that possible?
I don't know. Maybe they're all coked up on PCP or something, you know. They don't feel any bullets.
Paul B., score it.
I was going to give it a 7, but just to be...
A dick.
Yeah. I'll give it a 6.5.
Whoa, we're going down. Hell, save it.
Basically, for all the reasons Nick mentioned, there's a lot of great gore. A lot of fantastic gore.
Yeah.
I love the feral vampires. I think that's amazing. Don't see it nearly enough. Everything now, they all have to be nice and beautiful and...
sexy.
And sexy and glistening and fucking glittering and fuck all that. Outside of Near Dark, maybe Lost Boys, these are the most vicious vampires I've seen. I do have a problem with the ending. I've got a problem with the motivations. I know you guys say they just go back on the ship. Doesn't make much sense to me. Whatever. I've got a problem with the Sophie's Choice that Josh Hartnett has, that they're, you know, either they burn or I've got to go out and do what I did. Doesn't make much sense. The CGI is very dated. The punch to the back of the head is just awful. I will say anybody should watch it simply for the fact that these are probably the best vampires put on film.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Danny Houston's awesome as the leader. I like the fact that he's the only vampire that speaks. Nobody else speaks. They all growl and they all make their own little sounds, yeah, or whatever. But he's the only one that actually has speech, which is cool. And he seems to understand a little bit of English because he taunts that one girl, the one Helen was talking about, with God. I like that a lot. But for the whole, I'd recommend it. Yeah, absolutely.
Just because something stopped Bela Lugosi doesn't mean it can stop these things.
Why would they send that stranger to cut us off if they can't handle the light?
Nude, your turn.
I loved this movie. I'm giving it an 8.
Good really, score.
Actually, no, 8.5. Yeah, I mean, I remember it very, very small parts of this movie, but a lot of it I had forgotten. So the gore, first and foremost, is amazing. Like everything, the decapitate or partial decapitation, the, you know, bodies in half, the heads being blown off, just everything. The gore was amazing. And I like that it was an isolated location, almost hopeless, pretty much, because where are they going to go? I don't have a big a problem as you guys did with the ending or the, you know, the girl. I thought that was creepy as fuck and I loved it. But I just think everything about it was good. I mean, injecting himself with the blood of, you know, the vampire or whatever, plausible. Mm-hmm. I mean, the other two people were around and coherent long enough to make it believable, so why the fuck not? Right, so he's the hero and whatever, and the last part where him turning when the sun was coming up, yeah. But I mean, you started seeing a little bit flying around, whatever, and he was kind of screaming. And she held him. I think it was just fine. It was one of those, fuck, you know, we're just trying to get back together, but then it's not happening type of thing. But I liked it. Yeah, I had a lot of fun watching it. I would totally watch it again and again.
It's snowing. As soon as it's safe, we have to move.
I will give it an 8. It's a little bit dated, but you know what? I had a better time watching this the second time than I did the first time. Because I remember after the first viewing, I had a problem with the ending. Now the problem that I had with the ending is kind of gone, because now I understand a bit now. You know what? To be honest, this story here, the fact it's 30 days a night, so it didn't sell to me that they were there for 30 days. It felt like they were there for maybe a weekend. You know? At the beginning of the film, you see the sun go down. Okay, this is the last time we're going to see it for a month. Vampires come in, start just decimate the entire town, which seems to happen like immediately. And then everybody agrees that the best part of the film starts when there's just a small pack of survivors continuing to exist while trying to evade these vampires out there that are trying to pick off anybody who's left. You know, and that's the interesting part of the film. But I think a film like this or a story like this probably would have worked better if this movie was like 3 hours long. That way I could get to know some of the key players a little bit more. I would care about them because, okay, do I care about Josh Hartnett and his estranged girlfriend / wife? I suppose a bit, but I only get like 2 minutes to meet both of them. And they're immediately thrown into the fray.
You only care about them because they're set up as the main character.
And that's it. It's too quick. Like this story is much bigger than a 95-minute film. This story, if they did like a mini series like The Stand, where it was like 3 or 4 hours long, this could have been really good. That's my biggest problem with this film. Other than that, it gives me gore. It gives me really good gore.
Yes.
It gives me vampires that don't fucking sparkle. Not only do they not sparkle, I had never seen vampires like this before. The needle teeth, the alpha pack.
Those long fingernails.
The, you know, the black trench coat I thought was great. Yep. The fact that he's smearing gore in his hair, like just reveling in what he is. The guy's like been around for centuries, and all he wants to do is destroy us and feed on us. Mm-hmm. No humanity, evil fucking vampires. Would I watch this again? Certainly.
Yeah.
Would I suggest to our listeners that they watch Absolutely. This if they haven't already?
Yeah.
Certainly. I have not seen the sequel, though. Has anybody seen
No. Terrible.
It is bad?
The only person I recognize in it is Harold Perrineau.
Okay.
Lost. Oz. Yeah.
It's nowhere near as good. Apparently, it's more faithful to the comic,
mm-hmm.
but it's just not near. It's direct to video. It's.
If you happen to miss this and you're in the mood for a vampire flick that's going to give you characters that are 100% evil, it's going to give you good gore, and, you know, a fairly decent story with a decent ending, you know, are there flaws? Certainly. Could it have been executed better? Absolutely. Was it paid for by fucking Evil Dead money? Fucking absolutely. I thought that was great. I did not know that. As soon as when the credits rolled and it said produced by Sam Raimi and Rob Tapert, Evil Dead. It was Evil Dead money that made 30 Days a Night for the screen. End of story.
Well, we got a long time to figure this out. Nobody's coming for you for a month.
Folks, that's going to be it for the 110th Horror 101 show. We hope you enjoyed our revisit of 30 Days of Night starring Josh Hartnett, Melissa George, and Danny Houston. If you enjoy your vampires vicious and sadistic, then look no further. This film is for you. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B., and my lovely wife, Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening. And reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you. And we're going to continue to help you find it right here at Horror 101, educating your fears. Last Jedi did it better. Am I right?
Ooh,
am I right?
It was, yeah.
And that movie sucked balls.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Luke took his robot arm into the Force. What the? How does that work?
I know, it should have been like the coat falling and this arm just clink, 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 clink.
That would have been great.